Come on, baby.
Are we recording?
We're rolling.
Okay. So, Mr. John Bevere, we are coming out of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I think we are both looking like we are carrying food babies.
Oh, don't talk about it. You know, you pointed out a little food baby, which for those of you who don't understand, it's when the stomach is sticking further than what you would like it. It really upset me. So I was in the gym every day this week.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, you're carrying a food baby when you lay on your back and your stomach
you
is still sticking out.
See the stomach.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of Christians are like, I'm so glad that January is the month of fasting so I can give birth to my food baby. But the truth is there is a big difference between dieting and fasting.
Tell me the difference.
Well, a diet changes the way you look. But a fast changes the way you see.
Wow, that's excellent.
And we need to be a people who have vision. We need to have insight. We need to be able to see things differently if we're going to live differently. It's not about looking different makes me live differently. We've all heard different stories about people that lose all the weight and yet they've never changed their ability to how they see themselves or their circumstances. They go right back. So a fast is really about consecration. It is not like, hey, I need to hear from God and I need to lose weight, so therefore I'm just going to starve myself, because that weight loss becomes your reward.
So are you telling me a fast then is not a hunger strike?
It's not a hunger strike. You know,
So let's talk about hunger strike, because that seems to be the way a lot of people approach fasting. They figure if I go hungry, if I don't eat for a few days, then God will listen to me.
Yeah, because he's worried that I'm going to die.
Well, that's the extreme, but it's amazing to me how many people just think, okay, because I'm not eating, God's going to now answer my prayer.
Well, you know, I think actually a fast is more about, it isn't about making God talk. It's about actually opening up yourself to hear. You know, David talks about in Psalm 69:10, he said, I wept and chastened my soul with fasting. You know, sometimes my soul needs a timeout. Sometimes my soul needs a chastening. And sometimes it's because my body and my habits have taken preeminence. You know, I also think a lot of people need to actually set their heart. They need to say, I am more concerned about transformation than I am about weight reduction. I really need to know God, not just know an answer, but to really know God. And I think that fasting is one of those disciplines, and people don't like that word, but it is one of those disciplines that get neglected in this day and time. And so I, you know, again, it's about chastening our souls. It's not about getting God's attention.
Well, you know, I look at my life and I look at the times when the Holy Spirit led me to fast. And usually that would be anywhere from a day to 3 days. And that was a total food fast and just drinking either water only or water and juice.
And we're not giving medical advice here.
Yes, we're not. But some of the
shouldn't do that
real
until your doctor says you
significant can. Changes, mm-hmm. impacts in my life happened on those fasts. And they mm-hmm. were amazing. But I will say, Lisa, that I've noticed that when the Holy Spirit nudges me to fast, I always find that those are much easier and much more effective. And I also want to say this, that fasting just means abstinence. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's food. I mean, some of the most effective fasts that I've gone on
is when we turned off TV.
Television fasts.
Yeah.
You know,
our children hated it when we had television media fasts. We were like, hey, mommy and daddy, we're going to chasten our souls for the next month. There'll be no television. They're like, no. But it really did. It changed the focus. And it's amazing that after a month off and then you turn it back on, how actually you find things grievous that you didn't grieve you before.
I remember after a 30-day fast, I just walked into the room and the boys were watching, a movie. And I thought, gosh, I can't see this. But, you know, it reminds me of the time I was at a church in North Carolina and I was on the platform and it just seemed like there was a ceiling. The church just couldn't go any further. It seemed like God wanted to do something, but there was something hindering God doing something. And I remember on the platform, I looked at this church and I said, okay, no church in this city, and I didn't know this in the natural, and I thought, boy, I'm going to be a false prophet here if I'm wrong, but has ever been able to successfully go above 1,000 people. They hit 1,000 and either the church splits or they become very institutionalized. And the pastor came running up and said, you don't know how accurate that is. And I said, well, God has told me how this wall is going to break, and that's going to be a 40-day fast. Now, the people's faces were like, 40 days of not eating. I said, but it's not a food fast. I said, it's a fast from whatever keeps you from spending time with God. I said, it could be computer games. It could be computer activities. It could be television. It could be, you know, games. Whatever is keeping you from spending quality time with God, you need to abstain from it. Well, they really jumped on it, Lise, and most of them fasted television and computer games.
I remember that.
And do you know, they started getting reports of people that their kids were making D's and F's, and they were now making A's and B's. They were now having family Bible studies.
Well,
families
were, more time.
Were reuniting. And so what it was is they were drawing close to God. That's the purpose of fasting. And I remember at the end of that 40 days, that church exploded. They had a real significant visitation of the Holy Spirit that touched their children. And that church today has over 4,000 members and is vibrant. And I still go there almost every year. So,
that's awesome.
So it wasn't about the food, Lisa. It was about getting time with God.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping we can emphasize here.
Well, fasting isn't about food. It's about separation. And, you know, you said that there's, you know, there's times that you know, a leader just says, hey, I'm going to declare this. I want a breakthrough. He may not have felt a prompting or,
true.
I want to read something in the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21. It says, I proclaimed a fast. This is Ezra talking, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children and our possessions. And I think that there comes a season in our life when we know we're going from one place to another. It might not be a physical move like it was for Ezra, but it might be a spiritual move. It might be a season change. It might be a ministry change. It might be a occupation change where you know that God is positioning you to move from one place to another, that you can humble yourself before God and ask for a safe journey, that he is going to be with you as you go from one place to another. The book of Isaiah 58 says, is this the kind of fast I have chosen?
That's
only
where I just turned to, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's amazing that you're reading this.
For a man to humble himself, is it only for bowing one's head like a reed or for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what I call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And then he says, no, actually, that's just religious motions.
Wow.
That's not what I'm not looking for a one day happening. I need you to remember the substance. He said, is not this the kind of fast I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked to clothe them, not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? So God isn't saying, I just
so
want you to turn from something. I want you to turn to something.
Right. I was just going to say, it's not
Absolutely.
Just abstaining.
Yeah.
It's actually being proactive
Absolutely.
In these areas. And that's so important to point out. But, you know, the thing is, in Isaiah 58, he goes on and tells the rewards.
Yeah.
Because remember Jesus said, when you fast, don't let men know about it.
Yeah.
He said, but let your Father who sees in secret know about it
yeah.
so that your Father can reward you openly.
Right.
What are the open rewards? Isaiah tells us, Isaiah 58, verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The greatness of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in a drought and strengthen your bones. You will be like a well-watered garden. What promises? There's guidance in there.
Well,
go ahead.
And will you skip verse 9, which I absolutely love. It says, if you do away with the yoke of oppression,
right,
with the pointing of fingers and malicious talk. So some of you might just need to only fast social media. Okay. Cause there is so much going on there, and spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Then God says your light will rise out of darkness and will be like well-watered gardens. It's so crazy, because if we only deny ourselves and don't move beyond ourselves, then we don't get the answer. And it actually sounds like their answer comes after the fast, not during the fast. And I hear a lot of Christians saying, I'm fasting until I get an answer. Well, God's like, well,
that's a hunger strike.
I want you to fast and be an answer, and then I'll give you an answer.
You know, I look at this, Lisa, and I think how important it is for us to understand the whole concept of this fasting. I want you to get an image, folks. God says that he is the fountain of living waters. He said to Israel one time, he said, you know, you look at me like a broken down sister, and you've almost treated me like that. But he said, I am the fountain of living waters. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I want you to get an image right now. I want you to see a well that's been plugged up. It's been plugged up by media. It's been plugged up by social media, by computer games. And all of a sudden now, there is no way for that water to get out. And what fasting does is it unplugs the well. So really, it's more about, as Lisa said right in the beginning of our podcast, it's more about you getting in a position where you hear from God, not getting God in the place where he will react and now speak with you. And yeah. I think if we would approach fasting with that attitude, I really believe our fast would be much more effective.
Yeah, you know, I want to share something here. You know, John, I wrote a book called It Is Not How You Look, It's What You See, and it was all about fasting.
It is one of my favorite books of yours.
Thanks, babe. And I actually have 12 things that a fast will actually do in your life, and I want to just break those down. Number one, fasting creates a new hunger. You know, sometimes in America, none of us even remember what it feels like to be hungry. Now, we might have cravings. We might have cravings like, I really need chocolate. Well, that's not hunger. Fasting actually creates a hunger. It actually opens up something. And when we have a hunger, then we have this ability to be kind of the anti of our culture, where we can fast in the midst of abundance, because we are people who are so oversatiated that we don't know hunger anymore. And so a lot of people say, you know, I want to have a hunger for God, but I don't have a hunger for God. Well, a fast will awaken a hunger for you. Number two, fasting increases sensitivity to God. And these are all tied to scriptures. And in the book, It Is Not How You Look, It's What You See, we have all of this written down. But it talks about the prophet Anna, how she never left the temple, and she fasted and she prayed. And because of this, Anna, she recognized Jesus when he was an 8-day-old baby boy. She was able to see things that nobody else could see. She was able to be sensitive because of her constant fasting. And I know that when you and I have fasted, we've seen that. Number three, fasting works humility in our life. David said, I humbled myself. You lose some natural strength, which means you've got to lean in. Now, people say, well, I'm not going to fast food, so I'm not going to have natural strength. Well, sometimes we draw natural strength from television shows. You know, I know that sometimes it's easy to be distracted from things. And if I watch this distraction, I don't have to deal with maybe something over here that God is doing in my life right now. But we know that the math tells us, you know, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so sometimes we're living by the bread of man and bread, and we need to hear from the word of God. Fasting also chastens or disciplines us. And there's a difference between humbling ourselves and disciplining ourselves. And, you know, I know for me that I can find out that over a course of time, there's a lack of discipline in my life. And fasting is something that changes that. And, you know, here's the thing. God promises to discipline the children he loves. Go ahead.
And as that. Your husband, I've noticed that in both my life and your life. I've watched what's happened with you after a fast, and I noticed that there's more discipline. And I know with me, I always enjoy the discipline that occurs after a fast.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why a lot of healthy pastors, you know, we've got a lot of pastor friends that they always set apart time for mm-hmm. their churches to fast in January, because they want to set a healthy discipline pattern in all of their people at the beginning of the year.
And I also think they want their people to come on board with them on what they're doing.
Yep.
You know, we've had a lot of sugar. I know over Christmas, I know over Thanksgiving, I'm like, you deserve all this sugar. You deserve it. And I mean, I'm weaning myself off of the sugar because I'm intending to fast soon, and I don't want to have that sugar thing. But that brings up the next thing, the point number five of what a fast does. It changes your appetite. You know, when you have sugar all the time, you want sugar all the time. But when you fasted, you don't necessarily want to go right back to sugar. You actually want to eat something healthy when you come out of a fast. You actually crave what is healthy when you come out, not in the beginning of it, but when you come out of a fast. You know, when it's what you already talked about, like when we fast those particular shows, when we come out of it, we're like, I don't want to watch that show. I don't want to read that magazine. I don't want to do that. Or maybe some of you have some relationships you might need to fast because they're not healthy. Mm-hmm. They're not yeah. healthy, and they're feeding the wrong thing in your life. And then fasting increases our capacity. And, you know, we need a greater capacity. I know I feel like God is asking me to make more room for him. And when I can make more room for him, then fasting brings answers to prayer. We talked about that. Fasting leads to quick healing, Isaiah said. Fasting opens the door to God's protection and provision. Fasting looses chains of injustice. There is so much injustice happening right now all over the earth, and it is spiritual. It is not something that the U.S. government is going to be able to fix. We need to fast, and we need to pray, and we need to believe God's going to loose those bonds.
So as we're hearing right now, there is a tremendous benefit from fasting, but it's not a benefit that has been created because God is gone. Oh, they're fasting. They're serious about me. It's only created because our faith capacity grows.
I do think there's a factor of that. I do think that God is saying they're fasting and they're serious about me, because he does say that he'll hear us when we respond and we draw near to him. He draws near to us, but it isn't because we're making him do it with a fast.
And this is where you and I would disagree, and I'm all right with disagreeing because
I'm right.
God said to Israel, he said, you've been fasting long periods of time, and yeah. I'm not listening to you. Why wasn't he listening to them? Because they were still disobeying him. They weren't doing it in
faith. Was this in the book of Malachi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because they're being mean to their wives, too.
Being mean to their wives.
Just
going to
put it out there.
Yeah. But, you know, and this is the thing our team tells us, that, hey, we love it when you guys disagree. So I'm going to go on record right now.
No, that's fine.
That here's what I believe fasting does, is it enlarges your faith. You've just said what it does. But, you know, and so I think if we can just get this message across to everybody today, that the reason we fast is to really align us with God, mm-hmm. not to align God with us.
Absolutely.
I think if we really understand that, we're going to have a much more effective fast. And now, here's the other thing. We didn't even touch on the fact that there is a Daniel fast.
Yeah.
And that is when Daniel abstained from all pleasant foods. Now, I think it's hilarious.
That does not cut out coffee. I just need to be really clear on that. Coffee is a vegetable. It's a bean.
I mean, there are books written on what the Daniel fast is. And to be honest with you, I don't know where it's coming from, because he just basically abstained from certain
meat.
Things the Bible
pleasant
said.
Pleasant meats. Yeah.
Pleasant foods and meat.
Possibly chocolate.
But it's hilarious to me how sometimes, you know, people are like, oh, this is a Daniel fast and this is a Daniel fast. And I've been all over the country. So have you. I've heard so many different recipes for the Daniel fast. Hey, let's just get down to the bottom of it. It's abstaining from something that's pleasant, a pleasant food, a food that maybe you depend on, overly depend on. So for me, I know it's chocolate. I know it could be, you know, protein like fish and all that stuff, and just eating vegetables and lentils and nuts and all of that stuff. But don't try to push your Daniel fast, your recipe of a Daniel fast, on somebody else. But there is validity to abstaining.
Yeah, and I think they can find information online on that. We don't have it, but I know there's a lot of great organizations that they even look at. And, you know, and we want to support what your church is saying a Daniel fast is. But
yes,
yeah,
we
but
do.
If you're kind of in a place where you're like, I'm not sure what that is and I'm totally confused, don't make it stressful and just ask the Holy Spirit.
I think what I'm attempting to do is, I've seen people that have like, oh my gosh, I ate a piece of fish, I've broken my Daniel fast.
You have.
And
God's
I just
not gonna hear
don't want people getting so hung up on the recipe for this fast. But it's the fact that we are just trying to align ourselves with God. Now, the thing that I think is so important is that we bring a wrap on what we've talked about here today. And the number one thing that I want to state here, Lisa, is that when you go into your fast, remember, you're abstaining so that you can spend more time with God. I think it's amazing sometimes I'll watch people say, I'm on a fast, and they're watching 4 hours of television a day. And I'm like, okay, I'm not understanding this. You're not eating your dinner, but you're sitting there watching TV.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to turn from something if you don't turn to something. You know, when Esther was fasting, she was preparing a banquet for the king.
The king.
So, you know, we need to understand it isn't about doing nothing or doing everything the same, just not eating. It's about really going into the presence of God.
It's consecrated time with him. Yeah. And remember, the second thing is to make sure you do it in faith. Jesus said, your Father will reward you openly. Expect the open reward. But remember what Lisa said, and this is so powerful. It doesn't always, and it usually doesn't happen during the fast. It happens sometimes weeks later. It happens sometimes days later. So just go in faith.
And I just want to close with this number one. A fast changes the way you see. not the way you look. And so I want you to believe that maybe you'll just begin to see everything different. And when you see things different, then you'll see answers where you missed them before. And it isn't about losing weight. A fast is not about losing weight. It is about loosing the weights. It is about breaking what is controlling or oppressing you.
So next week, we're going to be talking about another spiritual discipline, and that is one of my favorites, and that's hearing God. So we'll look forward to speaking about that next week.